It's about the vine and the branches today, and these are the verses from John chapter 15 that we'll be looking at in a little detail anyway. These are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. One of those. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we're going to be thinking a little bit about what it means about Jesus being the vine and us being the branches, but we need to start fairly back in time. So if you see our first picture, please. Where did it all start? There's a bit of a grapevine for you, okay? Where did it start? Where's the reference to vine, first of all, in the Bible? It's in the time of Noah. So let's have a look at our next one, please. It's there. In the days of Noah. Noah, after serving the Lord in a very difficult situation, the world had gone really bad, and God said, I'm going to finish the lot off. I'm going to get you, Noah, and your family, spare you, but the rest I wipe out. After that, a year in the big ship, Noah comes out. He says, Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. That's a bit sad, isn't it, really? The first reference to the vine. A little warning to you there, a lesson for us all is, sometimes it's easier to stay on the track when things are tough than when it's all easy. There's the danger. All the pressure's off Noah. He can relax. And the old devil's still... The devil was on the boat as well, did you know? Yeah, he got through the flood as well, unfortunately. Poor old Noah, unfortunately, rather messed up there. Bless him. Next thing, please. We've got a good one, though. Here, next track. There's a lovely promise in Zechariah about the time when God's blessing comes on the world, right? And he says this, in that day, each of you will invite his neighbour to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. It's a sign of blessing to be able to sit under your own vine and fig tree. Well, I sit in my conservatory under my vine and think, Lord, I am blessed. I might invite you occasionally, but you know, I'm sharing it for myself at the moment. But anyway, there you are. That's the promise. One of those symbols of blessing. And so the vine came ultimately in the Bible to have some very special meaning. So let's look at our next one. Right. And this is from Isaiah. And it's a bit of a sad one in its own right as well. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. And Isaiah isn't talking about grapes there, he's talking about the people of Israel. The nation of Israel became symbolized by the vine, amongst other things. And God says, I got this vine and I've planted it and I've done everything I can for it. And when I want some fruit off it, what do I get? Bad fruit. They didn't produce the kind of lives and justice and grace that they should have done, having had so many blessings provided by God. And Isaiah gives them this terrible, terrible message about God saying they're only producing bad fruit. Well, let's move on from that one. Next then, please. Here we have Jesus eventually turns up and says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now again, he's talking symbolically. The Father is the gardener. Father is the one who's looking after the world. He's caring and providing for us. And Jesus is the true vine, the real vine. Israel, in symbol, is the vine, yes. But ultimately Jesus fulfills all that Israel failed to do to make Israel blessed in the end, of course. But of course, Jesus is the one that fulfills all that the vine should be. And so that's what we see when Jesus comes into this world. He says that I'm the real vine, the genuine one. Right, next one, please. Right. And we find this later, Jesus, the vine's planted. I've just picked up some references to wine, as we see in the life of Jesus. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, and so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Isn't that sad? In many ways, you know, the wine that Jesus had come to bring as blessing was sour wine that the people gave him. Which is rather sad that Jesus, in doing all that, fulfilled the Bible's promises. That's what was going to happen to the Messiah. That they gave him wine, vinegar to drink. And that was part of his sufferings for us. And lastly on this one, next please, is we're going to be remembering our Lord's death in the communion in a little while. And here we have Jesus, when he took the cup at the Last Supper, he said, this cup is the cup of wine, in my blood, the cup of the new covenant. Jesus was introducing the new covenant, the promises that God had made long before in the time of Jeremiah, when God would do something special for his people. What he would do, it began, he says, for Judah and Israel, for the Jews, but the Gentiles are in on it now as well, which is wonderful. And what is the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? Is that God's commands, God's promises, God's blessings are written on stone in the old one. Right? In the new one, they're written on the inside. They become part of us. Right? The reality is now there because of the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit at work in us. Right? So that's the background to the wine and the vine. So the next please, yeah? So Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, our problem, brothers and sisters, is we don't believe that. We believe we manage all sorts of things without it, don't we? Yes. Well, that sometimes. You go on autopilot, you do your own thing, you manage very nicely. Doesn't always work out, though. I offer you this as just a sound piece of advice I found personally. Right? If you're going to start doing something, ask the Lord to help you. Yeah. Whatever it is, ask the Lord to help you. Because you'll find out if you don't, halfway through you thought, I should have asked the Lord. Yes. So, without him we can do nothing. He's the one to whom we need to be joined in order to make things work properly. Okay? Next, please. So, let's have a look at this. The kind of fruit is determined by the stock DNA. And that's true, isn't it? A bit technical for you, but that's important. What type of grapes grow depends on what the plant is, doesn't it? You buy a packet of seeds and it shows you what's on the front, right? And what's built into those seeds is the DNA, the message that God's made. Yeah, it's the information God's put in. And the vine produces the fruit that's designed to come from the DNA of the stock. Now, what's the stock supposed to produce? It's supposed to produce grapes. And I put for Galatians there, what's the fruit you're supposed to produce?
Good fruit.
Good fruit. What's Galatians 5:21 fruit? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's the qualities, a character that God wants to form in you that he can produce as you. In relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in you, you'll start producing things that you never did before. Yeah. Yes? Your temper can change. Right? Your attitude to others can change. The things that you're willing to do can change. Right? Sounds impossible? Humanly, yes. But it's the fruit of the vine working in you. Jesus working in you to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Right, next one please. Right. And your ability to produce the fruit depends on being joined to the supply. There you are, a beautiful strawberry plant for you. Right? What does it need to produce the fruit? It needs the energy, it needs the water, yes. But you can have a little branch like this, right? Get all the sunshine and all the water around it you want, it's not going to produce anything. Yes, what it needs to be is connected, right? It needs to be connected to the stock. And that's what Jesus is really saying, is we need to be joined to him. We need to have a relationship with Jesus. How's your relationship with Jesus today?
Do you know, I heard yesterday of one of the speakers that seed is planted in all of us, in everybody. It's just materialized.
The word of God, as we hear the message, it's a seed. Mm-hmm. Right. It depends on what ground it falls on as to whether it's going to do any good, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ah, right. Okay, next slide, please. Right. The other thing about being joined to Jesus and a relationship with him is, in Jesus we find the purpose we were created for. God's made us, for each of us individually, for special purposes. It may not seem big in the world's eyes, you may not make the headlines on the news. That doesn't matter. What you do, and remember when Jesus says, even a cup of cold water given to someone who's a disciple of mine, you do it for me, it counts. Isn't that amazing? Right? It may not get mentioned on the telly, but in heaven, it's recorded. And that's where it matters. And so Jesus is saying, this is to my Father's glory. God gets the glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When you start living the way that God wants you to do, people can see God's been at work in you, and he gets the praise. Yes? They may say you're a wonderful, nice kind of person, and that may be true. But ultimately, what they're seeing is Jesus at work in you. Right? So it gives you a chance to say, do you know, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be just as miserable as the rest of them. Yeah? It's true, isn't it? Okay, and then he says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Wow. Now then, God wants you to have joy. Dear friends, how's your joy doing? That doesn't mean to say you're happy all the time, I can assure you. Joy isn't happiness. Yeah? Joy is that sense of knowing it's all right. Yeah? That deep sense of knowing it's all right, it's going to be okay, even though it may not seem nice at the time. And it can be nice at the time, and the joy bubbles over then, of course. You really sense you're on track. Do you know, I just say this, as a young man, one particular night I was walking home, and it was on a dark road where we lived in Soman, and the stars were out and everything else, and I looked up at the stars in the sky, and I'd just come back from a prayer meeting, and looked up there, and saw these stars. I thought Abraham looked at all them as well, you know, quite a long time ago, but it's wonderful. But the important thing I want to make is this. You can look at these, and you can see all these things, and David did. He says, Lord, when I see all these things, we're just so tiny, aren't we? So small. Yeah? But I didn't feel that. I felt, Lord, I know where I fit in the things now. I know I belong. I know I'm part of your plan. Yeah. I was at home in God's universe, right? Mm-hmm. Not a stranger, not just outside looking in. Yeah? And that's what Jesus comes, that his joy may be in you, to know that you have this relationship with God. It's such a precious thing. I hope you know that. Yeah. And may grow deeper for all of us, you know. We haven't discovered everything about God yet. Did you know that? Yes? There's more to discover about this all the time. Next slide, please. Joined to the vine. How do you get joined to the vine then? Well, it's by faith in Jesus. You believe in what he's done for you. You ask God to forgive you for your sins and thank him for what he's done and promised in Jesus. And through that, there's a connection comes. It's amazing. You may not feel it at the time, but as time goes on, you begin to discover this change is happening. Why? Because you're joined to Jesus. For some people, it's almost a revolution. I mean, I've spoken to friends. It wasn't like that with me, but there were people I've spoken to who said, you know, I asked the Lord to forgive my sins and to take me into his heart. And he said, I just felt this power going through me. Yeah? Well, I'm not an emotional sort of guy, so maybe the Lord knew that. You know, I don't know. Yeah? But I tell you, Jesus is there. I know he's there now. And whatever your feelings were, it doesn't matter in that sense. You'll get the feelings as you go on. I can assure you that. Yeah, so, we join by faith in Jesus, not feelings, but the feelings will come, I promise you. Next slide, please. One thing I'd like to emphasise is, a grape isn't a bunch. Did you know that? Right? Why have I thrown that in for good measure? In fellowship. Very good, yes. A grape. God doesn't deal with... Oh, I shouldn't tell. No, I won't tell you. It's a good joke, but I won't tell you. Yeah. doesn't deal with the Lone Ranger. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, you can be a Lone Ranger if you're isolated, under persecution and everything else. It may be like that. Elijah was like that. Yes? But most of the time, God wants you to have fellowship, to be part of the bunch. Yeah, that's the idea. Okay, next slide, please. Which brings us to this. We're joined to the vine in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is He works in each of us so that each of us with our different gifts and abilities produce something that's bigger than the single one of us. Yes? There's more to the fellowship than just you and them. The Holy Spirit does something in it, yes? Have you noticed, you might have found this, that you might have come across somebody you met just by chance who was a Christian, never met them before in your life, and in a few moments, you're there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's producing the fellowship. That's what's going on. Right? So, that's what we need. Bound together, not just because we have different, have similar likes, you know. I suppose if I asked you all to write down, what are your interests, hobbies and backgrounds? They'd be quite a range, wouldn't they? Yeah? We're not a club. A club is a group of people who meet together with the same interests. Yeah? We're different. The one thing that does join us together is Jesus and His Holy Spirit working in us, which is good. So, that's good. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Then, one more? Right. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Bearing fruit, Jesus says, joined to the vine. So as we're with Jesus, we can bear fruit. So, we've got this, the fruit of the Spirit. Right? I try to remember these things. Are you good at remembering verses? No, I'm not much good at it. I've been able to repeat it for about a day, and then it sort of fades, you know. Anyway, it's this. Patience, peace, joy, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the sevenfold fruit of the Spirit. And notice, yeah? They're qualities of what you are, not just about what you do. Right? Patience. You got patience? Get it from the Holy Spirit. You'll need it. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Gentleness. Right, well, how we treat others is important. It comes from being gentle, of course. Peace. How's the peace doing? Thank the Lord. But, do you know, you can say, Lord, I know my sins are forgiven. I'm sorry for what I've done. I regret my past, and I know I'm not going to be perfect in the days that are coming, but I can be at peace with God through Jesus. Yeah? Right? And self-control, well, that's a bit in short supply these days, isn't it? Right? Well, God can give you that by His Holy Spirit's enabling. Wonderful, right? And then, that's the qualities of what you are, but then we have the good deeds to do as well. Every day should be a good deeds day. It says there's a lovely, one of my favourite verses in Ephesians. I think it's chapter 2, verse 10. That might be the wrong number, but it's around about there. And it's this. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has planned beforehand for us to do. Yes? We're God's workmanship. He's made you. He's formed you. And He's made you to do something. To do good works that God's planned. And so we can do a good deed. So that's bearing fruit, as Jesus wants us to. Next slide, please. Right, so lastly, it's this. What's that chap there? It's Old Lord's Kitchen. And it was part of an advert. Yes, your country needs you. Well, I've cut off the your country bit. Jesus needs you. That might sound strange, doesn't it? God doesn't need anything, does He? Right, but Jesus wants you joined to the vine. Why? Because He is working through you that others can see Him. Right? He needs you to be His hands, His voice, His heart, His response to the world that's around us. Jesus needs you in an amazing way. He's chosen to do that. Isn't that lovely? Now, one of the things, perhaps, in our world, people don't feel is needed sometimes. If you don't feel needed, it feels terrible, I should imagine. Yeah? But Jesus wants you. Isn't that lovely? He wants you to serve Him. Joined to the vine, bearing fruit. So, how's it going? How's the fruit coming along, brothers and sisters? Eh? Got you worried now, have we? Well, one last thought, and this is my last thought, and it's this. I've observed my grapevine for quite a few years now, and I'll tell you something. The grapes don't appear complete immediately. Yeah? They start out with these tiny little round things. Absolute green little things. You would hardly notice them. Little blobs. Yeah. It takes weeks and weeks of sunshine and water and plant food, and eventually they turn up as grapes. Right? It doesn't happen overnight. So don't get too discouraged if the fruit's not too big yet. But keep going. Keep at it. Trusting your joint of the vine, he'll produce the fruit. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you want to bear in our lives qualities that show us to be belonging to Jesus. Lord, help us. Forgive us where we produce crab apples rather than grapes, Lord. Lord, we ask you'll have mercy on us. And help us, Lord, to shine for Jesus in the things we do and the attitudes that we show. Lord Jesus, we admit, we believe it's true. Without you, we won't produce it, Lord. But with you, and by your Holy Spirit working in us, you will continue to produce in us things that are praise to your name. And Lord, we want to say thank you. Lord, that we can be part of that experience, part of knowing that you are forming in us the qualities that show us belong to Jesus. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for Jesus, your Son. And thank you, Lord, we can enjoy fellowship with you by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.